percentage of people who don't have health care also might not have ready access to a computer right away. The state of Arkansas has already reduced its number of uninsured by 14%. Already, just in the first month, by signing people up for expanded Medicaid.
All right, that's the president talking about, obviously, signing up and health care coverage. And the reason he focused on Arkansas is because Texas won't budge. That's where we start here on America Tonight. How are you in all those nooks and crannies? It depends on where you live, what actually is happening in your state with the affordable health care coverage kicking in the individual mandate. We know that at this point, the website has been less than stellar. There have been a lot of woes from people who have had to now get other insurance, that they are losing their family doctor and their premiums have doubled or tripled. And we've heard a lot of those sad songs. In fact, I have said here on this show many times, listen, if Obamacare has been terrific for you, I want to hear it. I want to hear from you. I want to hear what your story is. Absolutely. Coming up a little bit later, we're going to talk with Andrew Szabo, Peel Back the Onion, about the politics of what was in the election and what is in the future, the why the strategy is not there for the Republicans and how they better get their act together if they want to capitalize on the Obamacare mistakes in 2014, and then what happens in 2016. Also, Jason Fried will join us on the show, and he's written the coolest book. It's called Remote Office Not Required. And the way we work now, so many people don't work in an office, or they only work in the office sort of part-time. They're out of the office, and then they're in the office maybe for an afternoon or whatever it might be, and it's really become more and more normal for people to do that. The whole 9-to-5 in an office all day long is starting to disappear in a lot of professions. And, you know, I think it's a good thing. When you have all the people sitting in the same office, in the cubicles especially, what happens is I wonder often about productivity because you get so many interruptions. Somebody needs something right away, and somebody else needs something right away, and then there's all the emails that constantly come in, and then there's distractions, and there's a lot of them. And frankly, I think a lot of people work better remotely. It's just that people, I think a lot of bosses wanted control, so they didn't like the idea of somebody not being there every day, of somebody not showing up and sitting there. But Jason is a pretty cool cat, and he's written this is a bestseller, I'm sure. He wrote a bestseller called Rework, and he's running a company, a web-based company. They're doing software now, and it's an interesting conversation. So that's coming up, too, as well during this hour of ATN. So not working well remotely or in the office is healthcare.gov. And Kathleen Sebelius, while the president was on the road in Texas trying to convince the governor that they really need to expand coverage because you've got a state where you have millions of people who are uninsured, and if they would take advantage of the insurance, the expansion of Medicaid for people that hardly have an income and they're well below the poverty level would make a huge difference. And remember, this all spins on the heels of the Supreme Court's decision in 2012 that they upheld the individual mandate, but they also said you could opt out of the Medicaid provision. So Texas has opted out of that. The governor wanted no parts of it, saying that it was an intrusion into, you know, state exchange was an intrusion into the sovereignty of the state, and it was ineffective, and it would bankrupt essentially what was working so well in Texas. And the president was stumping in a lot of different places saying it's a no-brainer. Why wouldn't they take advantage of this? Why not take advantage of it? And I don't think Perry's going to budge, and I don't think Texas is going to budge whatsoever. In fact, Senator Ted Cruz pretty much said, you might want to back on out and get out of Texas because it's not working here. 28% of the total population goes without health insurance. And the president went to one of the temples in the city to see how people were signing up for the health care, looking at the, you know, the sign-up process. They have community members, or they're calling them navigators, to help people enroll over the phone and through paper applications. And they released a whole bunch of internal memos that showed the methods relied on the website mostly to complete the process. And I know somebody that talked to a navigator, and that's what they told them, that you had to go to the website, and if you were getting bounced out because of your password, you just still had to keep doing it. And then we get word that some of the navigators were had a criminal background because they weren't vetted. There was no vetting in that process for what a navigator would do. And Sebelius, Kathleen Sebelius, the Health and Human Service Secretary, was testifying on the Hill, and she copped to that and said, yeah, that's not what we did. That's not our process with the contractors. And unfortunately, that means those navigators had access to personal information, incomes, also Social Security numbers. That certainly doesn't make anyone feel warm and fuzzy that that was going on. So I think that's a huge blunder. It's another blunder when it comes to this website. I mean, healthcare.gov has been a nightmare for this president. Flying to a state like Texas, saying, oh, navigators, walk me through, realizing that some of these navigators that have been hired through a contractor have criminal backgrounds and weren't even checked and could be getting, they say, there's concern about the information that they're getting off of the people that they're talking to. Oh, my, oh, my. So healthcare reform from that perspective has been absolutely disastrous. I mean, absolutely disastrous. Coming up in just a few minutes here on America Tonight, some odds and ends, like the death of Blockbuster. How many times in your life did you hustle on up to a Blockbuster to rent the latest movie that was coming out? As a movie fanatic, I can tell you, I went to Blockbuster a ton. But you know what? That was in 2000, 2001, 2002. And then came Netflix and streaming and Hulu and every other method you can imagine. So while people still might have videos, the whole idea of going to the video store and renting it has been really taken out of most people's lives. And Blockbuster going down is huge, and for a couple of different reasons. One, it shows you a failed business model when you don't keep up with current trends. And two, it just shows you how big digital is. You can't get around it. No more videotape rental stores for the most part. Little ones in little areas, but no big boys anymore. Because Blockbuster is like a rite of passage. It was so huge for a very, very long time, probably 20 years or so. Stay with us. O&E coming up. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
gold. It's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Anybody listening to my voice that can tell me, and I really mean this because I always say, I don't care if you're left of left, right of right, or somewhere in between, or like me, you think we need some fresh blood in D.C. I like some of the people that are there, but very few, and it's getting fewer and fewer as time goes on. The machine is just smashed. It's wrong. It's ruined. Whatever word you want to use, I'm so out of adjectives right now, I have to buy myself a thesaurus or look online, but you get my drift. We've been there. We've pounded the pavement. We've talked to Democrats, Republicans. We see how this works, and it's not working. It's not working. The Republicans have to come up with a strong message, and as I said, we're going to talk to Andrew Szabo about that, because when you look at the Republicans, one thing, if I were running the Republican Party, if I were Rentz Priebus, and that was my job, the thing that I would look at, one, without a doubt, you have to have the young voters in there. You have to have Hispanic voters that are excited about your candidate, your message. You do, because it's in demographics. It's about numbers. And the other thing is that you have to stop, I think, the whole blame game. Stop constantly pushing the message of the Democrats, they're brutal, the Democrats, it's their fault, it's Obama's fault. The reason is yes, there's problems inherently with this Obamacare, massive problems. There was no transparency with this White House, just none. There just wasn't transparency. But it's a losing strategy. So if I am paid to be a strategist and my candidate's telling me that, I get it, but I think, give me the solution. Pump the solution. That's what somebody younger wants. That's the votes that you're going to need in the future. And they're not doing that. A lot of them are not doing that right now. Not doing it right now. So 2016 could be interesting, because I don't think Chris Christie is very popular on the East Coast and even with Democrats in New Jersey. But that does not make him the candidate of choice for others in other states to be the Republican nominee in 2016. I don't think it's as much of a layup, that part of it, for him, as so many other people believe. Be interesting to watch that. All right, I promised some odds and ends. So that means we're going to veer away from Obamacare and the nonsense in Washington and the ripple effects in your life and in my life, and talk about a couple of quick other things that I wanted to mix in. One, Twitter, 140 characters. Who knew? The brilliance of that. Just went public. Twitter offering $26 a share. So the seven-year-old company is valued basically at $18 billion. Started in 2006, right, as a way to hit short messages to friends, update friends. You know how many people are on Twitter? 232 million. They post 500 million tweets a day. That's crazy. That's why technology, you can't get away from it. You have to be able to work technology. Hello, healthcare.gov. I said I wasn't going to go there. So 500 million tweets a day. Some of it probably pure nonsense. It doesn't matter. I'm just getting to the point of the company. And you know what? This is capitalism at its best, because Twitter is created. It's an idea. It comes from someone's brain. Somebody else thinks it's ridiculous. It gets out there. It zooms. It takes off. And it becomes this company that now has an initial public offering, which is crazy, crazy, crazy. If you remember, Facebook raised $16 billion last May. Twitter probably is going to be ranked as the second highest debut of an internet company. And it might surpass the $1.92 billion raised by Google in 2004. Boy, and wouldn't that be some good stock to own right now? Google is up over $1,000 a share. $1,000 a share. That's crazy. So if you just bought a tiny, tiny bit of Google back in the day and you were able to hold on to it, that'd be sweet for sure. LinkedIn, 220. Facebook, 49 and change a share. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Twitter is a huge success story, without a doubt. Without a doubt it is. It just brought in $534 million of revenue for the first 12 months that ended in September 30th. Yep. And see, that's the other thing, monetizing it. Monetizing it is the other part. So you got some more billionaires on paper, right? Got somebody named Evan Williams, a billionaire on paper. The co-founder, same thing, Jack Dorsey, another guy who owns a tremendous amount of shares on paper. It's so funny when people say that, because you got to be able to cash it in to make the money on it. All right, so that was one thing, and plus it was a big hot day. The Dow went up, so if you have a 401k, it might have been a nice day for you. Might have been a nice day. It was certainly was for a few people anyway, as they saw the highs of some of their blue chip stocks go up just even a little bit higher, a little bit higher. The situation in Los Angeles that happened last week, last Friday, hard to believe it hasn't even been a week. Now more people are starting to speak out and give more details on what they've seen. And the terminal was opened a few days ago over the weekend, fully, full on open. And pretty scary to hear the stories of just how many people were running for cover and trying to avoid what they thought was getting shot. And I mean, a crowded terminal where you have JetBlue and Spirit and Virgin and Frontier and a whole bunch of other air carriers that were there. And Paul Ciancia was the 23-year-old who opened fire with the assault rifle, shooting and killing a TSA officer. That guy's name was Geraldo Hernandez. Point-blank range, so cold-blooded. Actually returned to make sure he was dead, shot him again. Ask somebody, are you TSA? You know all this because we've talked about it before, and you've probably read about it, too, as well. So there was somebody who was in the terminal who was injured, who was shot, and he's had a bunch of surgeries and a bunch of other procedures that had to be done. He's going to have a metal rod in his leg, but they say he has full sensation and movement in his right foot because he didn't have that. He, the other guy that was shot was crawling to safety trying to get away. He was, because he just kind of looked at his leg. He was bleeding and something was wrong with it. He didn't realize even what had happened. And he was hit in the back of the right calf. And he said he still kind of remembers seeing his face. And this guy's a teacher who works at Calabasas High School. And he knew, because he didn't know what this guy was after, Ciancia, he knew he just kind of had to get out of the way. And that's exactly what he did. He was on, how sad, he was on his way, it was a Friday, to a wedding in Chicago. He was on the second floor of the terminal waiting for his turn to clear the TSA checkpoint when that happened, when he was hit. And this guy was 29, he's 29 years old. I mean, luckily, it wasn't worse, but I'd say a couple of surgeries and a metal rod, it's not a great thing either. But the fact that Brian Ludmer is alive and he's able to talk about it and he escaped is huge. He just says Ciancia was cold and stern and definitely was on a mission. And now the conversation reverts back to a lot of people are thinking this is a gun control thing and assault rifles, while others think, what about arming someone at the TSA points or putting more police in airports? I mean, ultimately, these are cavernous airports, and I don't think you can completely stop an element of people that are trying to do harm and get into the airport unless you were stopping all the cars along the way, too, and searching everybody who came in through the big giant doors when they enter the airport. So that's probably not realistic at all. You'd have to add a lot of people to that airport, and I don't think they can do that, especially in Los Angeles. All right, coming up next, my pal Andrew Szabo, then Jason Fried. Stay with us, everyone.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. TerraGanix.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
My name is Frank Bates, and I got a confession to make. Just a few days ago, FEMA went directly to my supplier and tried to buy my entire stockpile of high-quality survival food. It sounds crazy, but I'll show you the exact letter they sent in a minute. Revealing FEMA's plot could land me in hot water, but I think you deserve to know exactly what they're doing. Go to FEMAHatesThis.com to see undeniable video proof that the government is on the hunt for as much survival food as they can grab in 24 hours. Be warned, it's really disturbing because the fact is FEMA must know something we don't. Go to FEMAHatesThis.com to see why survival food is the number one item to hoard right now and why supplies are so low or even completely sold out already at many stores across America. Do it now, because I don't know how long it will be online, so go to FEMAHatesThis.com while you can. That's FEMAHatesThis.com.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health, and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, A-L-K-A-Vision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Once again, our pal Andrew Szabo with Peel Back the Onion. He is the marketing chef and the creator of Simply Irresistible Marketing. And I'll tell you what, when it comes to marketing, this is the first thing that we're going to start with right out of the chute. As you know, we were all over the elections yesterday with McAuliffe becoming the new governor of Virginia. He's a Democrat. He's a Clintonite, worked for the Clintons. They campaigned for him. Chris Christie, a Republican, retains his governorship, if you will. He's still the governor of New Jersey with eyes on 2016, the presidential race. And Bill de Blasio is the new mayor of New York City. We've talked about this before. He's a Democrat, too, as well, but his administration may be a little bit different than Michael Bloomberg's stranglehold on New York was after he did it for three terms, got people to actually vote him in for that extra term. So, Andrew, you are the king of this. I mean, this is what you do, as I said. You are all about marketing and strategy and positioning. So let's break down those campaigns a little bit, and what do you think it means for Republicans?
Well, I think there's lessons on both sides for both Democrats and Republicans. And it was a peculiar set of elections because each of those three constituencies do have some particular dynamics. Let's start with New Jersey, Governor Chris Christie. He won a landslide re-election, and some people are even saying it's a possible launchpad for a 2016 White House run. He's very moderate as a Republican, and obviously people remember from a year ago, he piled up to the president when we had the tropical storm Sandy, of course. So a lot of credit to him for that, but he beat the state senator, Barbara Buena, who really wasn't expected to do that well, but it was, by almost two-thirds to one-third. So certainly a handy platform. Obviously now he's been able to track the support of Democrats, independents, and minorities. So he makes for an interesting prospect for obviously an ideologically split Republican Party ahead of 2016. So I think that's the dynamic that Chris Christie enjoys, that he's very unique among Republicans in a unique state with the dynamics that's going on there. Now, New York, you've got a very staunch Democrat. I mean, I mean, people are saying he's extreme liberal, staunch liberal, I should say. So it just goes to show that the Democrats, despite Obamacare, in certain places, are going to still do well. And that's why you contrast that against Virginia, where you had an ultra-conservative Republican who was, a lot of people were scared of him. He's socially conservative. He wanted to bring back things like anti-sodomy laws. He wants to make divorce more difficult. Very radical right wing. And of course, he fought his campaign. Remember, this is Virginia, very dense population in Northern Virginia. He fought his campaign against the backdrop of the government shutdown, of course, which was forced by his allies. So you got a lot of government workers who were upset. And I think, and so it was an anti-vote to some degree against the Republican Cuccinelli. But on the other hand, the Democrat only won by the slimmest margin. He was expected, Terry McAuliffe was expected to win by a much greater margin.
Yeah,
so in
yeah.
this particular geography, the, you know, people do think that the Obamacare fiasco definitely hurt McAuliffe, and he lost a lot of votes. So I think it's an interesting prospect that the Democrats have. You start peeling back the onion, you know, it's not going to be, there's a number of Republicans, I'm sure. Yeah, excuse me. You heard that a lot of Republicans went up onto the Hill. There was, I think, 14. This was not on the president's schedule. And 14 of them went up to meet with the president over, and these were 14 senators, Democrat senators, who were supporting the law in the past. They're worried about the troubled rollout and it's going to come back and haunt them during the 2014 midterm elections, just as it eroded McAuliffe's margin, because he had a double-digit margin over the Republican, and that was eroded to just, I think, 50,000 votes was eventually the margin between them. So you got an interesting situation. Dilemmas for the Democrats, but also a dilemma for the Republicans, because they, and I think, you know, we've talked about this before, Kay, on and off the air, is the lack of messaging strategy by the Republicans. There's no clear messaging strategy. And I've informally asked people, so what do you think is the Republicans' message? And I get things all over the place. What about you?
Absolutely. You know, that's a great thing to throw out to the audience. Let's ask them, what do you think the message is for the Republicans? 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. I think the problem is it's all over the map, and they don't have clearly one message. And that one message, you know, it's those buzzwords, I hate to say it, but it's so true, it's those taglines that help in an election year, certainly, because you look at the placards, you look at the backdrops and how that's developed as you go along, as you get closer and closer, that becomes important. So Rince Priebus, who is the head of the Republican Party, the challenge he has, one of the big challenges he has, is coming up, Andrew, with that message, one solid message that Republicans, whether they vary on a couple of issues or not, can stand behind and stick to. And I think this is a huge dilemma for them.
Yeah, and it can't just be what the part of the problem is the Democrats have, in one sense, painted the message of what the Republican message is, in that they're just basically anti-Obama, anti-anything that Obama comes up with. So it's just they've painted them into a corner that it's just an anti, you know, they don't stand for anything, they're only against everything. They're trying to block legislation.
Yes.
And that message is what people perceive. There's a high percentage of people perceive this is what the Republicans stand for. They don't stand for anything. They stand only against things. And if you stand against something, then you stand for nothing.
Yeah, and that's it. You got to stand for something. You got to carry a message of something, whatever it is. Remember the first, it's like you look at George W. Bush. Remember his first presidential campaign speech is, we will carry a message of hope and renewal to every community. And they kept talking about that community, 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 and really did a big excellent. I mean, really, the designers of his campaign the first time around, the grassroots effort was so huge, and the messages were on point, and he would reinforce that all along the way, and I think that was what made such a huge difference for him. It's so key in the game of politics. There's absolutely no doubt about it. You know, speaking of that, we'll stick with this. We'll finish with this. Is, you know, talking about Christie in 2016, I have a few people that know Chris Christie in my life, and they say privately, he really, there's no question, he really is flattered by the fact that his name keeps coming up as far as the presidential race is concerned for the Republicans in 2016, and that he really, really is interested in it and is even thinking about, you know, who could be the vice presidential candidates. Do you think Chris Christie, ultimately, you have Bobby Jindal, who's the governor of Louisiana. You have Nikki Haley in South Carolina, because, of course, that would be a woman. You have Ted Cruz, the senator in Texas, Marco Rubio in Florida. There's some other names that have been mentioned. But do you think he is an electable guy for the Republicans?
I think, that, remember, there's two elections, essentially. You have to be, first of all, elected as
primary,
the,
yeah.
As for the nomination.
Yeah.
And then there's the general election. I think he stands a better chance in the general election than he does getting the securing the Republican nomination, which, of course, you have to get first. So you got to – it's unfortunately, the egg comes before the chicken in this case. Mm-hmm. And I think that's his biggest challenge. And, the names that you mentioned, there's a lot of great names there, people who – I think can also have the potential to unite the party, who probably stand a better chance in securing the nomination. There's going to be a lot of people that will vote, I'm talking Republicans, that will vote against Christie because they think he's too moderate, and they didn't like what he did a year ago. Apparently, they can't forgive him for what he did. They believe, you know, some people believe that Christie cost the Republicans the election by piling up, you know, week, 2 weeks.
Which, by the way, I don't believe that one bit.
I don't believe that.
I think Romney was Romney was not the right guy. So, but saying that, it's interesting. When we'll continue this conversation too, as we talk about politics another time on the show. But who the running man? If it were to be Christie, he'd have to have somebody that would appease the Tea Party people that aren't really crazy about Christie. He'd have to have somebody that was really strong in that area to unite the party. That would be key.
Cruz.
Yes,
Ted Cruz would. Or it could be the other way around too. That could be a very popular ticket. Where if Ted Cruz gets nominated, he picks Christie as the vice president.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That could also happen. So it could be, you know, either way. Either way, I think they've got to, A, unite the party, and B, make it. And this is what the Republicans have to key in on, not only just the message, as we told some, an irresistible message, but they also have to have, I believe, a winning ticket that the country, it's an electable potential president and vice president. And so they got to look at the whole package strategically,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely. All right. Peel Back the Onion with Andrew Szabo. We'll do it again. Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you, Kate. Awesome as always.
Extract, and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Welcome back to Secrets to Saving. Jen, you're saving $300 a month. What's your secret?
Sam, I called the National Mortgage Connection. They connected me with a great lender who refinanced my home loan into a much lower rate. Plus, they didn't charge me any closing costs. No escrow fees, no origination fee, and no credit report fee.
Let's go to Jeff now.
I called National Mortgage Connection, too. I also refinanced into a lower rate, and now I'm saving around $3,000 a year. And they refinanced me even though I was underwater on my mortgage.
It's no secret that a lower interest rate means a lower payment, which means you save money. And saving is sexy. With record low rates, you've got to call NMC now. They're a referral service that connects homeowners with a pre-screened lender offering no closing cost loans. And you can refi even if you're underwater. Call 866-507-2055. 866-507-2055. 866-507-2055.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today. That's the sound of a .44 Magnum and TraumaMax. A high-tech hybrid Kevlar bulletproof vest from InfidelBodyArmor.com will stop it and most pistol rounds. TraumaMax is a major breakthrough in pistol-rated body armor, and prices start at just $170 per insert. More protection, more stopping power, more mobility, and it weighs less than 5 pounds. Get details at InfidelBodyArmor.com. That's I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com.
I know you wanna play the one from top to dawn, or if you wanna play the one that's playing along, or not the one that only be a hindrance to me. I ain't just asking for a lot of funny company.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Very excited having our virtual green room. We spared no expense for this remote. Jason Fried, he is one of the authors of Remote Office Not Required. Jason, thanks for popping on.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me here.
All right, so Remote Office Not Required is pretty self-explanatory, but tell me what the genesis was for you writing this book, you and David, your partner.
Yeah, so we've been running a remote company for about the last 10 years or so. And actually a little bit more than that, probably maybe 12 now. And we have 40 employees, 12 of which work in Chicago. I'm sorry, actually 13 work in Chicago, and the other 27 work in 27 other places around the world. And so we've learned a lot about what it takes to make this work. And I keep, you know, whenever I tell people about the way we work, people are like, no way, I've never heard of that, I didn't know you could do that. And I said, oh, yeah, you could totally do that, it's not a big deal. And I kept hearing this, and we kept hearing this, and David kept hearing it, and people were so surprised that you could run a business this way. So we decided, you know, let's write a book about this, help other people, other business owners and other employees who want to work remotely, help them understand how it's possible, what it takes, what to do. And we put it all together in this book, and now it's out, so more people can learn about how to do this.
Yeah, so when you had friends over a decade ago or acquaintances or even business people, you say, oh, no way, I didn't know you could do that. How do you do that? When you first embarked on it, did you think it was going to be difficult? Do you think you were going to have to play babysitter and you weren't going to be able to get in touch with people and the work was going to slack off? Did you think you were going to have problems?
No, I didn't. I never even gave it a second thought. I just said, like, I want to work with the best people I can, wherever they are. It doesn't matter where they are. David, who's my business partner, was actually located in Denmark, and we're in Chicago. So we were about 7 time zones away, and we've worked together for 10 years.
Wow.
The second programmer we ever hired lived in Utah, and so he was a couple time zones away. And I just felt like, you know, people are the difference in a business, and I want to have the opportunity to work with the best people in the world. I don't want to just work with people who are within a 20-mile radius because they happen to be within a 20-mile radius. Some of the best people are elsewhere. And this is true for, I think, any position. So I feel like as a business owner, I need to open my eyes and be open to hiring the best people anywhere they are and not just the people who are nearby. And so for me, it was just sort of a thing that I did. I didn't really think too much about it. And it kept working and kept working and kept working, so I kept doing it. And I haven't seen any significant issues with it.
One of the things you talk about in your book, you say morning remote, afternoon local, and you talk about yourself that you spend the mornings at home and then you end up in the office maybe around 11-ish or so. But you emphasize it doesn't mean you start work at 11, but that you have zero distractions in the morning and you get other things done and then you're able to collaborate and be free to do that in the afternoon. I think there's a lot of truth to that as somebody who has flexibility as well, that people have this idea that it's, you know, you're sleeping in, you're doing other things, but you actually can focus. Do you find that that works with employees as well?
Yeah, you know, we have, while we talk about remote, we really have a hybrid company, which is, you know, we have some people who are local, some people who are not local. But even the people who are local, many of them decide to work from home a few days a week or split their time in a given day. Some people show up late in the afternoon, come to the office in the afternoon. And what we find is that, you know, my general feeling is that people should work whenever and wherever they're most comfortable and personally most productive. And if that happens to be from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. at home and then come to the office in the afternoon, that's great. Or maybe they come to the office in the morning and then leave and go home in the afternoon. It doesn't matter to me where they are. Some people are really early morning people. Some people are better late night people. Some people are better working with others around. Other people need silence and privacy. You know, it all depends, and everyone's different. We know everybody's different, yet the typical corporate environment treats everybody as if they're always productive at the same time, always prefer to be in the same place, and that's just not the way it is. So our general feeling is that you should be wherever you want to be, whenever you want to be. As long as the work's getting done, I could care less where you are when you're doing the work. So I'd say though that me personally, I'm someone who's more creative at night. So I like to go do sort of the busy work stuff in the morning and early afternoon. Then I take a few hours off, and then maybe I'll jump back into work a little bit later at night where I'm thinking more creatively. But if I need to do administrative work or more menial work, I'll do that in the mornings, and I feel like I'm better at that time, so that's what I do.
We should tell everybody that, obviously, besides writing this book, Remote, Jason has a company, and it's a web design firm, 37 Signals, and you already mentioned Chicago's where you're based. How about clients? When clients, you know, see the letterhead or have conversations, does this throw them off with the whole remote part of the time in the office sometime? No, because not a lot of people know office. Does that throw big companies into confusion?
Well, so we make software these days. So we used to do website design. That's how we started as a business. And over the past 10 years or so, we've been transitioning into just making software. And when you make software, you have customers who buy your software, but they buy it all online. So we don't have to meet with anybody in person. We don't have any salespeople. Everyone just, you know, we put up a website, put up some product shots, explain the product well, and let people sign up online. So it doesn't matter where we are. But when we used to do client work, we would just be very, very upfront with our clients and say, hey, you know, we're in Chicago. You are in, San Jose, California. If we need to get together, we can hop on a plane. No big deal. But, you know, we don't really think it's necessary. We'll share your work with you very often. We'll put it online, but use Basecamp, our project management tool, to share work, and so you can stay up to date on what's going on. And we'll save each other a lot of time and a lot of hassle, not having to do meetings and not having to commute and not having to meet up and all that stuff. And you can do what you do best. We'll do what we do best. And whenever we need to discuss stuff, we can show it to you online. Or if we happen to have to get together, we can do it once or twice during a project. It's not a big deal as long as you're honest with people. If you don't tell them this stuff until you get the deal, and then they're like, well, we want to meet with you every 3 days, you know, that's not going to work. So I think it's just about being honest, setting expectations. And if a client can't understand that way of working, then it's probably not a good fit. And you're better off working with clients who understand that way of working. So it comes down to finding the right people, hiring the right clients, just like they hire you, and finding people who care about the work and not the physical place where you do the work.
Yeah, well said. Marissa Mayer had a lot of controversy when she first took over at Yahoo because she didn't want that. She wanted people in offices, and it really created a lot of conversation around the water cooler for people all over America. Got huge headlines. She probably didn't hurt her because it helps getting the company name out and you see where it's gone. To be honest, there's no bad publicity. But there were a lot of people in the company that were furious that it was like, hey, this way or the highway. Was that smart for her to make that move or not?
Well, you know, my feeling on that is that, you know, I think time will tell, and she deserves the benefit of the doubt because she runs her company her own way, and she's a new CEO, and she's been very successful in her career, more so than I have been, in terms of running big organizations. It's not something I know much about. So let's see what happens. But fundamentally, the problem we have with what she did was that she basically pinned a lot of the woes of Yahoo on remote workers. She said, we can't do what we need to do if people aren't all together. Well, the truth is that there's only, I think there's like 2 or 3% of Yahoo workers are remote. And there's no way that Yahoo's woes are pinned to those 2 or 3%. Yahoo had had 5 CEOs in 5 years. Management had been terrible. The company had lost its way. And that wasn't because 2% of the people worked at home. So I think we need to be careful. And you're seeing HP, another company that's having some real troubles. Now they're saying people can't work remote either. And I think there's a lot of scapegoating going on and saying, well, it's, you know, we need to have everyone under the same roof to have the same culture and all this stuff. But that's not the problem with the company. The company has much, much broader and deeper problems than just having a few people work at home. So that's our pushback on that big announcement. I don't know if it should have blown up the way it did. I mean, it was one CEO's decision, and everyone's entitled to make their own decisions. But I think over time we'll see that what's going to happen, I think, is there are a lot of people with a lot of options and where to work these days. And I don't think great people are going to want to work for companies that force them to be in a certain place at a certain time. I think people have a lot of options, and they'll be far more interested in working with companies that give them the flexibility to do the work wherever they want. So I think companies and CEOs who are adamant about not allowing people to work wherever and whenever they want are going to lose out on some of the best people. So I think that's another long-term negative that's going to come from Yahoo's decision. But I guess, you know, again, time will tell. We'll find out in 5 or 10 years what that decision, you know, looks like.
Jason Fried, pick up the book, Remote Office Not Required. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me on.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.